Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are going to start out talking money like we always do every week. And if you're just tuning in right now, if you want to get some really good resources on how to get your finances fixed once and for all, go to RoyMatlockJr.com and, you know, check out the downloads. We also have all these radio shows, our own podcast called the Roy Matlock Jr. Money Business Hour, wherever you listen to your podcast. So today what we're going to do is we've been going through, if you're a listener in some of the previous shows, we've been going through getting kind of the closeout and the beginning of a new year, and we wanted to get some information that, you know, people do their New Year's resolutions and they start trying to figure out, you know, where they're going to go. And the first thing they want to do is get their finances in order. And so we'll kind of hit a little bit of that. We're working on the defense. When I build plans for people, that's what I do. I'm a financial advisor, been doing it for 40 years. And so when I do it, I kind of work around the idea that advice is key. The first thing you want to do is get good advice and get educated. And this whole radio show is about education. So that way you can make good decisions. Then from there, we have two pieces to the puzzle, and it's a defense and an offense. And the defense, just think of defense as things that you would do in order to not have setbacks and in order to keep you from failing before you get started. And then the offense is wealth accumulation and growing your net worth. And then from there, once we have a plan, and that's part of the plan, it's advice, defense, offense, we then go out to products, and we have to have products to plug in to that. That's everything from insurance and investments and different things like that. And then from there, we automate it. My whole mindset is automatic financial independence. How do you become automatically financially independent? What you do is you have a GPS in place, your goal, your plan, your schedule. You say, what's my goal? Where do I need to be? And I always look at goals as, you know, what amount of money do I need to have in order to be able to live the way I want to live, with a little bump for inflation, so I've still got some growth in it, that one day I can quit and do what I want to do, whatever that number is, and never run out of money, never worry about it. That's the goal. The plan would be we put a defense in place, an offense in place, you get good advice, and then what we do is we go out there and we find products to meet those goals, and that's the insurance products, investment products, and so on. And so today what we're going to do is kind of focus in on creating the offense and some of the foundational things on the offense. So I'm going to give you some sections that you can kind of, you know, when you're thinking through, you know, the first part is we've got to use compound interest and we've got to use time and consistency. So to give you the starting point, there's a rule called the Rule of 72. That rule, I learned that early on. And the Rule of 72 says this: if you take any interest rate, it will and divide it into the number 72, it tells you how long it takes your money to double. So if you were to get 3%, it would take you 24 years. If you got 6%, it would take you 12 years for your money to double. If you got 12%, it would take you 6 years. And so you just take your interest rate and let it and apply it into 72, and it starts telling you things. So let me give you an example. So if you put $1,000 away and it was getting 12%, in 6 years, you'd have $2,000. In 12 years, you'd have $4,000. And in 18 years, you would have $8,000. Okay. So now I want you to think about that. And so you're getting 12%. So where do you get it? Well, there's places you can get it. But anyway, so if you get 4%, your money would double in 18 years. So now you put that same $1,000 in, and in 18 years, rather than having $8,000, you've got $2,000. And you say to yourself, well, what did I have to do to get the $8,000 versus the $2,000? I had to get a better rate of return on my money. I didn't have to get up in the morning and show up early. I didn't have to do anything. I just needed to have my money in a place that it would grow better than in the place it's at, maybe. All right. And so the Rule of 72 kind of changed things for me. The second thing is this. If you take $1,000 and you invest $1,000 over that 18-year period, that $1,000 grew eight times. If you spend that $1,000, guess what? You lost $8,000 over that 18-year period. So what's happening is you need to be thinking about investing it, because now, 18 years later, the $8,000 will pay $1,000 a year just in earnings that you had already spent 18 years earlier. And so all these kind of things go into play. So the first thing is we got to get a better rate of return on our money, but we got to understand why. There's money sitting in the bank right now that there's more money than ever before sitting in the bank. And some of you're not even getting paid interest. All right. You got a bunch of your money sitting in a checking account, or you got your money sitting in a savings account that's getting nothing. And so you need to take a look at that. It's the end of the year. Why do you want your money sitting in something that's not growing? Now, we want to have a certain amount of money set aside in the defense that we have access to. But the reality of it is it's very little, maybe 3 months of income, something like that, for an emergency. And the way we get our rate of return on emergency funds is we raise deductibles and insurance and, you know, our car insurance, our home insurance and stuff like that. It allows us to have lower premiums because we have something to fall back on. So the first thing is rule rule of 72. The second thing is time and consistency. And what that means is that if I meet with people, the most important thing I can do is get them started monthly doing something. That monthly is becomes a habit, and the habit over a period of time, you start having magic happen. So to give you an example, let's say that you wanted to put aside $500 a month, all right? And you put $500 a month, and you said, well, what, how does that work? Well, my rule of thumb, in 20 years, a dollar's worth $1,000, okay? For every dollar you invest on a monthly basis, it does it. So $500 a month is $500,000. How about that? I mean, that gets you thinking. You're saying, man, I could do that. And so what we want to do is get something started. So if you are out there right now and you're paying, you're living life, you are paying everybody. You might as well pay yourself, right? And so you're paying everybody. And if you're running a business and your business is you incorporated, you and your income, then at the end of the year, if you and your business didn't make a profit, then you just wasted a whole year of your life just to eat, all right, just to pay everybody else. So your whole life was made up of, let's pay everybody, not me. Let's do that. And so if you don't have something going in monthly, that could be your 401k. If not, we set up accounts for as little as $50 a month. Somebody can open an account and get it invested and get it automatically drafted. And the cool part about it, when you have those kind of accounts, you can add any amount of money you want at any time. So if you said, hey, I want to put $50 in, pull your phone out, log in, hit buy, and in about 60 seconds, you put your $50 in. And then that $50 is not $50 anymore, because now you got $50 and all the future growth that was happening. And so I've always said you want to have an easy way to accumulate money. And the easy way is have it going in monthly, number one, and where you automatically do that. That way, when you're paying your bills, you're in, on the list. You incorporated is on the list, all right, of getting paid every month. And then what happens is one day, like this year, many people I have that are clients of mine, because they've been doing this for a long period of time and the markets have been up and stuff like that, they made more money off their investments than they did off their work. I mean, isn't that what the goal is? And so that's number two, so time and consistency. So what we want to be thinking about is get a better rate of return. We're creating the offense. We want to get on a consistent, ongoing, regular basis to where we're putting money in. Anybody can do it, and you will get used to it. And then one day you'll call me up and you'll say, man, you know, I think I'm going to bump it an extra $50. And we run it out and say, well, that'll give you an extra this much, you know, when you retire. And so you do that. And if you start early enough, you can get yourself set in about 20 years. That's what it is. About 20 years into it, you can be set and make it happen. And so if you're just tuning in right now, my name is Roy Matlock Jr. I do financial advisory. I help people with their money. People ask me all the time. I say, you know, I'm sitting somewhere and they say, what do you do? I say, well, I help people with their money. I show them how to do better with their money. If you need help with your money and would like to have a call, reach out to us at roymatlockjr.com. We'll be sure and get you on the phone, and we'll do a quick little overview of how we might work out for you, and we'll go from there. So that is the end of the first section. We will be back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are talking money as we do every weekend all over Nashville and the surrounding areas. And if you are just tuning in, we're talking about creating your offense when it comes to your money. We just covered the rule of 72, time and consistency. You know, what should you get from that? Set up something that automatically comes out of your account, and we find you something that will fit your time horizons, but get you a better rate of return and get your money working harder for you. Now, the third area, or the third bullet that I would talk to people about when it comes to education and learning. So we learn about Rule 72, about how our money doubles. We learn about time and consistency. Now we want to become an owner and not a loaner. All right. So I want you to think for a minute about walking into, say, a bank. And when we walk into a bank, what happens is we pull our money out and we open a bank account up and we effectively loan money to the bank. So what we're doing is we're walking in, and you know, it's usually not this way. You don't sit down with a banker and say, hey, I got some money I want to loan you. What are you paying? That kind of deal. You know, what's the interest rate on the loan, on my loan that I'm giving you? We don't do that. They call it a savings account or a CD or all these different things. But the bottom line is you're working, you take it out of your check, okay, your work, you put it into their account, you loan it to them, and they pay you a small interest rate. They, in turn, reinvest that money. Now, how do they reinvest it? Well, banks are real easy to understand. They'll loan it back on a credit card. They'll borrow it for 3% and loan it to you on a credit card at 22%, or a car or a house or anything like that. And interesting enough, if you buy a house, there's something called private mortgage insurance, PMI or MIP, depending on what type of loan it is. And basically what that loan is they say, oh, by the way, we're going to loan it to you at 7%, even though we're borrowing it from somebody else at, you know, maybe 1% or 2%. We also require something of you, and that is if you have less than 20% down, we require that you buy insurance to guarantee that you pay your loan. How about that? And if you don't pay your loan, that's fine because you paid for insurance, and we're going to get paid anyway. How about that? And so, and we can take your house if you don't do it. So it's a pretty good gig for a lender to borrow money and loan it back out and make the spread and stuff like that. Credit cards even worse. So what happens is this. I always ask people, say, well, who do you think makes the most money, the bank or the saver? And they say, well, the bank does. I said, well, then you should just be just own the bank. And they're like, hold on a second, own the bank? I'm like, yeah, that's called having stock in the bank. If you own stock, if you're a stockholder, you would share your proportional ownership of a system that's pretty good at starting small and end up being the biggest building in town, all right, because they know how to borrow money at low rates, loan it out at higher rates, and make the spread on it. And then I tell people, you know, that, but you don't just want to buy banks. You want to buy the very best bank. We're going to talk about how to find the very best bank. And then you decide you're going to Vegas, and you go out to Vegas, and you're like, I'm only going to lose $500. And I start thinking about businesses that, you know, you're a casino and people decide in advance how much you're going to lose before you go out there. All right. I'm only going to lose $500 or $1,000, whatever it may be. So would you rather be the casino or the gambler? Which would be better? I think I would rather be the house and own the casino. He said, well, how do you do that? Well, you own stock in the casino, but I don't know which one to buy. Okay. I don't know how to do that. That's fine. That's where professional money managers come in. So what they do is they pool money. Professional money managers started, I have one of them that started back in the 1930s, and it's called a mutual fund. And we mutually fund the account. So what does that mean? Well, we go and us along with others, millions of people, have a little bit of money, and they put it into a pool. And then there's a management fee charged, about 1% typically, and that management fee pays someone to pick the best companies. And you say, well, how do they go about doing that? Well, they research it and they do stuff like that. And I was fortunate years ago to have a chance to visit some fund companies. And I went to one, and they had a guy in there, and they said, well, he's a pharmaceutical analyst. That's what he does. And the only thing he studies before they put money into it is pharmaceutical stocks. That's all he wants to do, drug company. You know, he don't want to know about anything else, but you can ask him anything about all the different drug companies. He knows all of it. And they had him up there, and they said, well, first off, what's his background? He's a doctor, medical doctor to begin with, and then he got his business degree from a big school, you know, big MBA school. So after doing that, he goes into the investment world, and he becomes a stock analyst. And he goes out, and he said, well, how do you do it? And he said, well, the first thing we do is we go meet with all the C-level, the C-suite, you know, the CEO and the COO and all that kind of stuff, all the drug companies. And he said, we never put any money into any company that we don't personally go visit. So they go out there, they do that. He said, then they open the doors because we're a big company, and they open the doors for us, and then they allow us to, you know, ask questions. And so we ask all the questions there. Then we go down and talk to some of the employees and just see what their attitude is, what they think about what's going on. Then we go over to research and development, and we talk to them, see what they got cooking, what's new on the horizon, what's coming out, all that kind of stuff. He said, from there, I'll do some travel. I'll go to doctors' conventions to ask them, you know, what they're prescribing, and then I'll even go as far as to talk to patients to see how well they are responding to the particular drug. He said, then we look at them and we rate them and we decide, you know, A, B, C, D, and E, which ones are the best in our mind based on what the price is and what we'd pay for and all that kind of stuff, what they got in the future. And then from there, we send it to D.C. We find out what the environment is when it comes to political environment as it relates to drugs, and then we put money in it. And more than likely, if you are in a fund, after all of that research, they do not have more than about 3%, maximum 4% of your dollars in any one company after doing all that research. And so after going there, I thought, you know what? All these people, these Robin Hoods and of the world that are doing it themselves, that think they're going to outperform, the professional money managers, good luck. It's not going to happen because they have access to information you just don't have access to, and you're never going to have access to it. And so what we do is we go out, and rather than try to, get lucky and buy an individual stock or do something like that, what we do is we go toward finding the best fund managers that have done the best consistently over a period of time. And we are the in-between, meaning my company, we're the in-between you and those fund groups. And we let those fund groups do the management of the money. And then what we do is we put your money across an investment spectrum. And that spectrum is based upon your time horizons and your risk tolerance. And so what that means is that, you know, if you're near needing to use the money, you're probably going to be more conservative. Not always, but if you got a longer time horizon, then what's going to happen is you would have a more aggressive approach potentially. And so what we do is we start out and we work on that goal. We say, okay, the goal, let's assume we're going to get this interest rate, and let's assume that we've got this many years and we've got this much money so far. We back it out. This is the amount. This is your number you need. We'll inflate it. So now you got an idea. But the rule of thumb is, like, you know, 16 times is a good number of what you want annually. Multiply times 16. That's kind of a rule of thumb of what I tell people if you want to know how much money you need. So if you're making 60 grand a year and you're wanting 60 grand a year in earnings, then what I would do is have about $1 million set aside. And then what you can do, that's kind of a good rule of thumb, is about 16 times, 16 to 20 times. And so we do that. Then we just back it out. We say, well, let's take rule of 72 into play and say, how long is it going to take for at 4% inflation for me to need twice as much? I got 20 years. Well, now, rather than being $1 million, I need 2 million. So now I got my inflation adjusted number. Now we got our goal. Now we got to get on a plan. So that's kind of how this works. And so today we're talking about creating the offense, understanding the tools and the products and all the different things that go into doing that. If you're just tuning in, my name's Roy Matlock Jr. You can visit roymatlockjr.com, get all of these shows. Once again, thanks for listening. We've got a couple more sections that we're going to work through on creating the offense. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
Roy Matlock Jr. here. We're back, and today we are working on creating your financial offense. We've covered the rule of 72, time and consistency, become an owner, not a loner, and we've talked about how funds work. We're going to get into the investment spectrum, but I want to bring this out too. If you are listening right now, I love doing what I do, and I think the most important thing you can ever do is find something that you like to do. People ask me, they say, are you ever going to retire? I'm like, nah, I'll just slow down a little bit, maybe play a little bit more golf than I do. But the reality of it is if you like what you do, the chances of you being able to do something special and earn a big income is much greater, because you're going to put the time into it. And so if you're out there right now kind of frustrated, we are bringing on people, and we will show you how to get licensed to become a financial advisor. And if you'd like more information on that, go to roymatlockjr.com, because we are expanding. We look for people that are, you know, good people, hard workers, somebody that wants to improve their situation, and you'll get training on a weekly basis from me. How about that? I'll teach you my 40 years of how I do this stuff. So with that being said, visit roymatlockjr.com and look for the tab Join Our Team. All right, we're going to continue on getting our offense in place. So now we understand how funds work, professional money managers. What they do is you buy pools. That's funds. You pool your money with everybody else into a fund, and then a management fee is charged. And generally around 1% or a little bit less is what these fund managers charge. And over a period of time, they go out there and they try to pick the very best companies depending on what the goal of the individual fund is. That's where we go into the investment spectrum, all right? So what is the investment spectrum? Well, it starts out from the most conservative all the way up to the most aggressive. All right. And I'm going to talk in terms of initially, this has nothing to do with rental properties. It has nothing to do with individual stocks. This has to do with funds. All right. And then once we get to that, through the most aggressive funds, we'll talk about individual stocks or real estate or anything like that. But anyway, the point being is that on the most conservative side, if you were starting and you said, well, I'm going to start at the bottom, I'm going to have money market accounts. What are money market accounts? Well, you can go to any fund group, and generally they're going to be very similar to a CD and the rate of return, and they're part of what is true the money market. And we use those for emergency funds. We also use money markets to keep a little bit of cash aside if markets are overcooked, where we might be able to do a buy-in, but we don't have a lot of our money in cash, all right, or what is called a money market. Then we go into different bond funds. Bonds are where companies or municipalities, depending on what it is, they borrow money from the public. So I'm going to give an example. A bond would be Exxon says, we will borrow money from you and issue a bond and pay you interest. The only guarantee that the bond has is Exxon. But you say to yourself, yeah, I would be willing to put my money in Exxon because Exxon's not going anywhere. And so therefore, I can get a better rate of return than if I put it just in the bank. All right, and that's a bond. And so right now, if you go look at bonds, some of them are yielding, 6%, something like that. And so you get bonds, and you also have the ability for bonds to go up in value if rates go down. Rates and bonds, interest rates and bonds fluctuate based on everything is based on interest rates. So if rates go down, bonds go up. If rates go up, bonds go down. And we can get into more of that another time. But anyway, that's bonds. And there's different types of bonds. You got tax-free bonds. And those are called municipal bonds. So if it's, say, the city of Nashville, if they wanted to borrow money from the public, they might issue tax-free bonds. And so we got municipal bonds. We've got tax-free bonds. We've got bonds that are what we call high-grade corporate bonds. That means the biggest companies borrow money. We've got something called junk bonds or high yields. They are on companies that are not as strong as the high yield, as a high grade type bond funds. But what happens is they get you a better rate of return because you're taking a little more risk when you're doing it. Then we move into the investment side. We have a balanced fund. A balance is going to have some stocks, stock funds, and it's going to have some bond funds or bonds in there. So it has stocks and bonds, a balanced fund. So think about balanced, so about 50-50 would be a balanced fund. Then we may go to a growth and income fund. A growth and income fund is going to put your money into funds that companies that pay dividends. They're bigger companies. They're more conservative than just, say, a growth fund. A growth fund is something where it's newer companies and they're growth-oriented. They're not looking to pay dividends or anything like that. And so you know some of those companies. Some of them are very big. Starbucks would fall in that category. Stuff like that where they're still expanding. And then we go into the aggressive growth. Those are the companies you haven't heard of. They are the most aggressive. A lot of them go under, but some of them become the next Google or whatever it may be. And so that's the investment spectrum. And so what we do when we're working with people is we match you with the investment spectrum. So we might get with someone and say, look, based on where you're at, we're going to do a 60-40 stock bond portfolio. And then we go out into the world of investing and we pick out the funds for you and match you to those funds based on your goals. There's a lot of instances where I have older people where they have earmarked some of their money that is going to be inheritance. They've got enough money, they're never going to go through it. We may have an older person investing like a younger person because the reasoning is that money is going to be something that would be inherited. So there's all these different things that would go in. So we do that, and then we start looking at what we call asset allocation. Asset allocation, we go from being very aggressive when you have a long time horizon to more conservative as you get at or near retirement because you don't want to be in a situation and get, retire today and then start pulling money. And the moment you start pulling money, you end up having declining markets and you're in the stock market and stuff like that. And so you don't want to have that. And so that's when we start looking at other things. We start looking at some defensive positions like annuities. Annuities are designed for guaranteed lifetime income. The reason we buy annuities is for safety. We buy annuities with the idea that, you know, the market, if the market goes down, we're unaffected. We can lock in a lifetime income. And so when I meet with people, if they're retiring, then I want to talk to them about, hey, maybe we should have a piece of your money in something that will give you a guaranteed lifetime income. Couple that with the other guaranteed lifetime income you have, which is Social Security, you now have a baseline of income for the rest of your life. Then we'll look at some investment choices to invest for the future with the idea that as things get more expensive, you've got another piece of money that you can draw on. And so we have that. So those are asset allocation models, 60, 40, 50, 50, whatever it may be. It might even be 100% in the market depending on where you're at. So once we do that, now we're building out. So we are getting this whole mindset of how we're building the offense. We're getting a better rate of return of the rule of 72. We got have time and consistency working on our side where we're pulling putting money in every month consistently. We understand now about becoming an owner, not a loaner. We don't want to have a bunch of money sitting in low interest rates because we now understand what the rule of 72 is. And so we do that. We now go to professional money managers to help us invest our money rather than trying to pick individual stocks, which I've seen no one amateur, outperform these guys over a long period of time. We then look at the investment spectrum of where we're going to do it from the most conservative to the most aggressive. We now start building a portfolio. We have an allocation model. You know, is it 60, 40, 50, 50, whatever it may be. Now, what about target dates? If you're working for a company right now and you have a 401k, chances are they've given you a target date fund to choose from. Now, I'm very pro target date for people that are working and, you know, have a 401k. And the reason is it does the asset allocation for you. And what we're going to do when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about target date funds, some retirement planning options. We'll even get into some college planning options as we are creating the offense. My name is Roy Matlock Jr., and we will be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
Right, Roy Matlock Jr. We're winding down here, creating the offense. I want to encourage you to visit my website, RoyMatlockJr.com. And, you know, one of the things that we have a service now that we added this summer, and it's a instant issue life insurance. Think about that. If you are looking for term insurance or you need something for your final expense type thing, we are we connected with an AI-driven insurance company where they can actually issue the insurance in about 10 or 11 minutes, no blood, no physical, none of that kind of stuff, and it includes a living trust and all of your financial power of attorneys and wills and stuff like that. So visit RoyMatlockJr.com and click and you'll find it on there. So just different things that, you know, the financial world changes all the time. And there is one example. And I remember people buying life insurance and it'd take 2 months to get their life insurance. And now they've turned it into 10 minutes. So, all right. So we're going to continue. When I went out of the break, we talked about target dates. So what is a target date fund? So you'll see it when you're working in a company and you sign up for your 401k and you're like, all right, target 2055 or target 2025, target this, target that. So what these are funds that are geared toward the date in which you're going to retire. So the best way to kind of look at it, you say, what year were you born? I was born in 1961. I'm going to add 65 to my birth year on, and I'm going to have a 2025 target. All right. If I was born in 1990, all right, I'm a 2055er. I just take 65, add it to 90. I'm a 2055er. And what that does is give you, if you don't know how to pick a fund, you don't know how to asset allocate, you don't know how to do any of that stuff, get the target date funds. And what they do is do that for you. And so you will automatically, a 2055 target is going to be more aggressive, more in the stock market. And if you start looking them up, you'll see they're 85, 90% in the market. But if you're a 2025, because you're getting close, you may only be 50% in the stock market. And so the idea is at a 2055 target, 30 years from now, will look like a 2025 target today. And so what it does, it automatically gets more conservative as you get nearer to retirement, and it will remain conservative with the idea it's creating an income plan for you if you left it there forever. And so it's a way of doing things. One of the recommendations I tell people is the moment you hit 59 and a half, you have the ability with your retirement plan to get it released. All right. And what I mean by released, if you're working for a company, it's called an in-service distribution, you're able to take that, and rather than be limited to just a few options, you can put all of that into one IRA and have all options when you have an individual retirement account rather than just the options that you have through your work. And so we do that with a couple reasons, a couple ideas behind it. The first one is if you have 401ks from previous jobs and they're scattered everywhere, that kind of thing, you want to get it in one place so you don't end up having duplicating funds. So I'll give you an example. So let's say you have two 401ks from previous jobs, and then you have your new 401k, and you start looking. So I got three different retirement plans. Do you know if those three different retirement plans are actually investing in things that are different, or are they all just the same? So you may think you're diversified when in fact you're not. And what we do is we run we call it a riskalyze. Basically what it is we go in and we take a look, and we can lay out, take a look at your what you're doing, and we can say, look, here's all your duplication, and here's what your real risk is. Even though you seem diversified, you've got a lot of the same kind of things. And so anyway, so that's one of the benefits at 59 and a half that you can, you can consolidate all those into an IRA and get it really diversified. All right, so what are some retirement planning options that you have as we're recreating the offense? Of course, we've got stuff at work, 401k, 403b, if you're working for a nonprofit, a 457 for some of the government, you know, like police, fire, stuff like that, has that kind of stuff. The long and short of it is that there are ways that you can do tax-deductible savings or after-tax, meaning Roths. A lot of them, you have Roth options. So to give an example, if you're working out if you have a 401k, there's a good possibility you're going to be getting some type of match. Generally, the first 6%, they'll match 3 is a good rule of thumb. And so what happens is if you put in, let's just say you're putting in that $500 a month, all right, and what they're going to do is you're putting in 5%, they're going to match 6%, they're going to match 3, now you got 9. So now let's think about this. We put in 6 and we immediately get 9. I like that. That's good. All right. And then the 6 that we put in, we deduct it off our income taxes. So let's just say for math that we get a deduction equal to 1%. So now we effectively put in 5 and we got 9. I like that. Yet 50% of the population right now that has access to these things are not putting their money into their 401k. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, you're telling me I can hand you $5 and immediately you're going to credit me $9 and I'm not doing it? I mean, come on. And then the $9, we know what to do with it and we get it working for us and we get it into an investment, and then the 9 grows to 18 or whatever it may be. That's what happens when you fund your retirement plan. So you want to make sure to at least get your match. Now, one of the things I run into when I meet with people is they realize the match. They don't realize that they can put much more money in. And so if you're over 50, it's around $30,000 that you can put into your retirement plan. I met with a client last week, and they were self-employed. And we started looking. We said, well, what could they do? They had a bunch of cash sitting, and we're able to fund their IRAs, both of them, which is about $15,000 between the two of them, and they can do what is called a SEP, S-E-P, and that was about $30,000. So immediately when I met with them, I said, hey, it's the end of the year. We can do it for this year. We have until tax filing next year. We can put 45 of your cash into something and deduct it. How about that? And if you're in the 30% bracket, you just save $13,000 by doing that. And then in January, we can do it again. All right. And that's going to give you another $13,000. So in a 15-minute phone call, I ask a few questions, and I was like, you're not doing this? You're not doing this? Okay, good. We can save you $13,000 a year in taxes right off the bat. How about that? Just by getting advice. Just that was the start. And then we found out they didn't take advantage of some self-employed tax credits, different things like that. Long and short of it is advice matters. And so when it comes to your retirement plans, I tell people you can do things, buy one, get one free. How about this? So let's say you put your 30 grand in. Maybe you're married and you're able to do 60 grand. Maybe you both have four. I've run into people like this. So now you throw 60 grand in and 30 grand a piece, and you're in the 25% tax bracket. You're like, all right, that's $7,500 for every 30,000. That's my two IRAs. I got those for free. I bought one and I got one free. I put my 30 grand in, got my deduction of $7,500. Threw that into my retirement plan. Maybe I threw it in a Roth or whatever it may be. Now I did that. And all I had to do was bump up my number, bring my number up. And so those are some retirement planning options. Same holds true with 403B. You can do the same kind of thing. And then once you hit 59 and a half, you can continue to contribute to those retirement plans, but you can take the lump sum out every year, roll it to your own IRA, and now you can have access to even more diversification when it comes to your retirement plan. And so when we start thinking about that, that's a way of doing things. We have the different retirement plans. You got Roths and you got traditional. A traditional, you deduct today, you pay taxes later. That's a traditional. A Roth is you pay after tax and and it goes tax free. And so all of them have that 59 and a half to it. And so those are retirement plan options. You might consider a life insurance policy. There's a policy called Indexed Universal Life. That is a product where you can put money aside. It has a death benefit. It wouldn't replace your term insurance. You would have your term to have the big death benefit. But this would be something as a separate, type of plan you can use to retire. Here's some of the benefits of that. If you put your money in, it grows tax deferred. It's tied to an index, and so it never goes down. So the value of it is the principal's guaranteed. So you've got principal guarantee, you got tax deferred growth, and then when you retire, you can pull that out tax free through what's called a policy loan, and all that tax free money comes out. And then when you pass at some point in time, that tax-free withdrawal that is part of the death benefit. So in essence, you put money in, pulled all of it out at a profit, paid no taxes on it, and there's no timetable as to when you can do it. So there's no 59 and a half before you can do it without penalty or stuff like that. So what you want to be thinking about, you say, well, I've got my retirement plans through work. I got my individual retirement accounts on my own, Roth or a traditional IRA, whatever it may be. I've got insurance policies that I can purchase that allows me to have a tax-free withdrawal. And now we're building up an income stream. So when I'm looking at getting bulletproof, I'd love to have my company plan killing it. I'd love to have my retirement plan through my IRAs, either Roth or traditional, depending on what you qualify for. And then I'll have my insurance over here. I got the whole package. I'm getting it going. That's how my retirement plans work. And then we go into college planning. If you have children, there's a lot of different ways. You do 529 plans, that you can put a bunch of money in. Benefit of a 529 is let's say you have three kids and one of them gets a scholarship, then you can move it from one beneficiary to the next, that kind of deal. That money grows tax-free. You can also do educational savings accounts up to $2,000 a year into that. But the whole idea is that it's a way to plan for college, and that allows you to grow the money tax-free, all right? And they can use it for their college and stuff like that. One other thing, a health savings account, that's something I highly recommend for people. If you have access to health savings, it's another way to tax deductible, tax-free growth account to pay for medical expenses. And the good news is that it turns into an IRA after 59 and a half. So you could do that. It's about $4,000 a year that you can put into HSA. So we got this whole thing. We got our offense going now. We know how money works. We know rule of 72, when our money's going to double. So we fight for a better rate of return. We use time. We use consistency. We draft it out of our accounts or a paycheck, whatever it may be. And then we go all the way through. We understand the spectrums of investing and allocation and all this kind of stuff. And we're on the way to automatic financial independence. If you're enjoying the show, I would encourage you, reach out to us. We'd love to help you with your money at roymountlikejr.com. In the meantime, let's get busy. Let's go make some money and let's get our money working for us. I'll see you next week.